There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And this hour, your chance to ask the sheriff, our guest. Once a month, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, and the phone number and the text line, same as they ever were. But if you're new around here, 251, first of all, welcome. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. You can also leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. So you got questions for the sheriff? You want to ask something you've just been wondering about? Well, he's on and he's with us and he can answer those. As we start off this discussion as well, let me point out, and maybe I'll just let Sheriff Birch do it, but the arrangements and the funeral procession for former Sheriff Sam Cochran have been set. That starts on Thursday, according to the news release. Cochran's funeral procession begins on Thursday following the massive Christian burial. To talk more about that, it's Sheriff Paul Birch. Sheriff, thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Always glad to be on.
Yeah, and you're. We'll get to it. You're at a conference, right? A sheriff's conference?
Yes.
That I just
state sheriff's conference.
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, I don't want to start any trouble, but I heard, you know, y'all would go wild in the hotel. So it's always a problem when the sheriffs are there. Let's talk about this. I know y'all have set, the memo went out from your office about the funeral and funeral procession going on for Sam Cochran on Thursday. Let's talk about that and talk about your memories.
Well, you know, I had a lot of memories. I worked for him off and on in different capacities for the last probably 30 years. You know, with the police department as well as the sheriff's office. So, you know, when you go back that long, you know, your roots run deep. And, you know, he's always been a good leader, but always willing to take under others, you know, under his tutelage. And he's had a knack for identifying people that he thought would, you know, rise to the level of leadership and would take them under his wing and help them succeed with that. And he was really good at it.
Yeah, I've talked to two different people. Now, you saying that's the third, but I've talked to two different people since his passing who gave me, in his private conversations, gave me that same story that said, hey, Sam stepped in at a certain point and said, hey, you know, you ought to, you show a lot of potential, you know, maybe you do this, that, or the other, and, you know, really catapulted their careers forward. I mean, they 100% say, I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for Sam Cochran.
And that's very true. You know, y'all have heard me, you know, talk on the past shows about, you know, my passion for working narcotics and homicide. And I was really entrenched in that. And we really butted heads over me steering away from that as I rose through the ranks, because he's like, you've got to do something else if you want to be successful and you know, in leadership. And that was hard for me to do because I was so passionate about it, but I guess it paid off.
Yeah, for sure. Talk about that, you know, it's time with MPD and then, of course, the Sheriff's Department. Talk about that leadership style. So bringing folks up. Also, I think, you know, I think back to the smurfing, you know, the stopping people from getting the ingredients to make the meth here locally. For me, coming from the outside looking in, I still remember that moment. He was on with me. And it was just the honesty of it felt very good. He said, listen, because I was asking him, I said, well, is this going to stop it? He said, no, it's not going to stop. Drug addicts will still be getting meth. He said, we're still enforcing the law. But he said, what I am going to stop is little kids getting burned, you know, trailers blowing up, you know, these explosions and this contaminants in the soil and all that. And I was like, you know, great. This is because that's a sort of public safety, but it was an honest take on it. It wasn't like I'm going to do this and I'm going to stop every addict from getting on drugs. But he said, I am going to keep people safe here at home.
And he did. He really led that, you know, effort and put a lot of thought and I guess mechanisms in place to make it happen. And you're exactly right. There's a drug addict's going to get drugs no matter what you try to do. You're not going to stop all of it. But weekly, because I was in narcotics at the time, you know, we're getting meth labs blowing up, you know, in houses and sheds, and innocent people getting burned, you know, family members not participating in the active, you know, process of making meth. But he really, you know, helped pass the legislation to restrict the pseudoephedrine. He was instrumental in that. But he's that was something he was passionate about, and he really did change the course of it.
And that's, by the way, too, if you didn't catch the beginning there, so the funeral on Thursday, and there will be, there's always sheriff's deputies, you know, when you have that going on. But, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people volunteered for that duty coming up on Thursday for the procession.
There will be. You know, and there will be some traffic delays, you know, unfortunately, but you know, we just ask that people be patient. You know, there'll be, you know, the sheriff's office. Other sheriff's offices from around the state, as well as Mobile PD and some other police agencies within Mobile. It's going to be a long, you know, procession.
Yeah, and y'all, this would go from Corpus Christi down to Mobile Memorial Gardens, so I guess Hillcrest and Three Notch being affected on that. Mentioned as well that you were at a sheriff's, you know, meeting here, I guess you and the other 66 sheriffs in the county meeting up?
Yes, sir. There's about half of us are here.
What, like, conversations, I'm sure you, I mean, you don't have to meet face-to-face to have these conversations with people that do the same job you do here in their counties, but when you do meet face-to-face, what do you talk, are you talking about something different than you would in emails or something? Does anything new come up in those conversations?
We do. Of course, we talk about, you know, upcoming legislation, you know, proposals, and you know, and the sizes and needs of the sheriff's offices around the state are so different. You know, but we all have a lot of the same problems. If you ask any of the sheriff, their biggest problem is the jail, and you know, a lot of them are fighting their commission right now to build a new jail. Some have been mandated by DOJ to build new jails, and just trying to figure ways to cut costs, you know, for the taxpayers, and that's a lot of the strategizing that we do.
Well, I mean, y'all've got the jail situation, but if people are found guilty, quite often they matriculate from jails to prison, right? And at the conversation, I saw the story at 1819 News about what. I don't know, governor-elect, going to be governor, Tuberville said about the Department of Corrections and the build here. You know, if people don't have to remember too long ago, we were told the money was allocated to build two new prisons for Alabama. And then, gosh, it didn't seem like a year later, they go, oh, by the way, we just had the money to build one, which left me kind of slack-jawed. But he commented on that. What did you take from that conversation?
Well, you know, one thing he emphasized the entire time he spoke was that, you know, he is going to pour more resources into public safety than any other government, governor, administration has ever done. And he really drove that home. But when he did talk about, you know, building the new prison, talked about all the change order costs and how it's gone up, you know, I don't remember if it says almost double, but, you know, probably 30%. And, you know, that's criminal in his mind. And he said that some of those people may end up in the same prison that they're building.
Well, it did seem, and I you know, we had this conversation on the show. A lot of people that are in the building trades listen to this show. So I started asking the question. I said, okay, we've got inflation. I agree with that because they said, well, it's inflation. I said, that's okay, fair. But the inflation rate compared to what the inflation rate was on this prison build, the first one, was they weren't even close in line. I'm no economist, but they weren't even close.
You're right. And, you know, I think this holds true almost anywhere. A private company building a structure or building, they're going to watch the dollars, you know, pretty tight and be on top of it. When a contractor see a state or government contract, you know, you can almost double the price. And again, that to me, that's fraudulent.
Yes.
That'll be something they'll have to deal with.
So, and the greater conversation from Senator Tuberville to y'all was he's going to pour more into public safety than before. I know Governor Ivey has made it part of her State of the State address and talk about all these things, but he's going to be more than that. Did he give you any specifics or just overall?
He got a little specifics. He talked about salaries and making sure to work with the legislature and to assure that law enforcement is getting, you know, everything they need to combat crime. He just, like I said, he really stressed what his plans are to make Alabama one of the safest state in the nation.
Okay. Well, a lifelong law enforcement officer like yourself, did they make sense of things he said? Did you go, okay, that
won't work? I mean, it was something I think well within, you know, his powers as governor.
Okay, we will watch for it. We're coming right back. More with Sheriff Birch right here on Ask the Sheriff. Your chance to get your questions in, 251-343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:22, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, coming up next hour as well, my friend Gary Jarvis back on the show. This also after the death of an Alabama firefighter out of the Colorado wildfire. So he's one of us from down here, but worked all over the country fighting wildland fires. He still does instruction and forecasting for it. He's a font of information, and he'll be on with us coming up next hour. All right, continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Let's get to, well, I tell you what, we'll get back to the text here in a second. But, Sheriff, I want to ask you about, saw the headline, saw the story from Lanyap. Mobile County Sheriff's MCSO seeks funds for possible Pritchard takeover. Said on the agenda for Mobile County's Commission's Thursday morning work session included an application for $777,813 in U.S. Department of Justice funding to benefit the Sheriff's Department. Talk about this and what would you use this for?
Well, mainly to increase the number of personnel to be able to patrol Pritchard. You know, when we started on June 16th, we obviously had a very strong presence initially, and we were spending between $18,000 and $20,000 a day in overtime.
Wow.
Which is unsustainable. About 2 weeks ago, we were able to get that down to a little under $6,000 a day, which is still, you know, not...
You hadn't had that budgeted.
Sustainable.
Right, you didn't have that budgeted?
Yeah, correct. And that's a heavy strain on our budget as well as the, you know, commission's, you know, funding for us. So, you know, we started reaching out, you know, to our federal partners and some of our state partners to try to see what funding we could secure. And we've got some money that was allocated to help pay for, like, the containers, the climate control containers to move all the evidence into where it could be properly stored. You know, they reimbursed or are reimbursing that. And then again, I eventually foresee I foresee the department eventually not having any officers, at which time we will, you know, be responsible for all, you know, calls for service in Pritchard, and which would mean I'd have to hire probably another 30 plus deputies to include supervisors to have a full-time patrol squad in Pritchard. Now, I will say with the strong presence that we started with, you know, we've significantly reduced the calls for service there, which has helped.
And give us an idea. I mean, I've seen enough stories to know the disarray there for Pritchard, but give us an idea, your perspective walking in there. I mean, evidence room or what had been done, you know, police-wise, out of 10, 0 being the worst, 10 being the best.
Is there a negative 0?
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, it was that bad. And just literally just evidence, property, you couldn't really tell which was what, just thrown everywhere within a number of rooms, old jail cells. Probably the most concerning were the sexual assault kits that were just tossed in rooms. And
explain that. Yeah, I saw the story right last week, and it left me angry. Left me angry seeing that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they weren't going to get to it? Or, like, this is information that could get a violator, you know, caught? I mean, yeah, it just sat there?
Violent felon, you know, that.
A rapist.
Tied to a sexual assault, yeah. And again, I can't say what their mindset was other than they just. You know, there were so many that had not been processed, and I don't recall the number off the top of my head. We put out a press release on it. But
it was over 100. It was 100 and something.
I want to say it was like 140-something.
I think you're correct, yes.
And, you know, and those have to be processed if they're viable, because those are supposed to be in a controlled, really refrigerated environment, and they're just tossed. And it's probably 100 degrees inside that. You know, just for us to process, we had to put fans everywhere, and it was alarming that the fact that a police agency would let something get, and that's years and years and years of neglect.
I have this picture in my head. I guess, you know, assumption, and Mom always told me what assuming does, but I assume something like that was kept refrigerated, and then there was some kind of, you received the kit, and it has to be to the facility within a certain X period of time to get the information, to get it back. I guess that was dumb on me. I thought there was a process for that.
Well, typically, you know, the way it's supposed to be done is, you know, the sexual assault kits are collected at a hospital. And then usually the evidence technician, sometimes the detective, will retrieve it from the hospital and then submit it to Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences for testing. Once they finish it, they send it back to us, and then we put it, you know, in refrigerators that are designated, or coolers, I guess, is a better word, that are designated specifically for sexual assault kits of biological evidence.
And so there is a time, there's an expectation from a citizen that there's a timeline involved with these.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But I can't really express the number of texts, messages on our website, messages left at the front desk of how from citizens of Pritchard about how happy they are about us being there. We frequently, or deputies who are working in Pritchard frequently get told, you know, I give them a hug and tell them thank them just for showing up, because they said Pritchard never, they would call them, Pritchard never show up.
You were telling, but you've been telling everybody that was going on for years. That's, yes. You know, even though it's gotten more attention now with what's happening with the arrest there at Pritchard PD, but you've been talking about that for years.
Yeah, but it really has made a difference in just the mindset, you know, of the citizens there. You know, we're building that trust factor with them. We don't, you know, we would do surges in Pritchard sometimes in different operations. But, you know, most of the shootings that we would respond to were originated from groups loitering in these convenience store parking lots and other areas, even those posted no loitering to do it. And, you know, obviously they just weren't being policed. That's no more. And we really cut down on the number of violent crimes because of that.
Coming right back, our conversation and yours, your questions, with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Bartsch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. By the way, the show on the road on Friday. Going down the island for the rodeo on Thursday, back as a Judge of the Liars contest, plus Midday Mobile live from noon to 2 on Friday from Dolphin Island at the rodeo site. And then also the next day, Saturday, special outdoor show from 11 to noon from the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, where you probably will see deputies, I don't know, maybe with allocation right now from the Mobile County Sheriff's Department. We're talking to Sheriff Bartsch. What about that? Rodeo presence, is that going to change?
Yes. No, it won't change. We'll still have deputies down there.
Okay. And a lot of these questions get to more of these questions about Pritchard I have, but let me go through from the text line here. This from Popo on the text line said, could there be more clarification with the Pritchard Police Department? They brought someone into our department for DUI and said they didn't think they had arresting powers. I was able to contact someone with the Sheriff's Department, and he confirmed they could make misdemeanor arrest. Also, is there an option to divide Pritchard with surrounding municipalities?
Well, I guess I'm not understanding the
first question. Okay. Yeah, the first question was, do they have arresting power? What's left of Pritchard PD?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're still active police officers. Their main duties right now are being visible and working any kind of traffic accidents, because the sheriff's office does not work traffic accidents. So that's their primary duties right now. So they still have the ability to do their job. It's just a matter of getting them to do their job.
Well, what if Pritchard PD was disbanded? Right. And it was just Sheriff's Department. What would you do about the traffic side?
We've already have a plan in place with Aaliyah.
Okay.
And then we've met several times about it.
So there is a plan.
There is a plan.
Also, the texter said, is there still an option to divide Pritchard with surrounding municipalities? In other words, maybe take other municipal PDs take it versus the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, you know, there was a plan in place years ago that spelled all that out, but when municipalities, especially some of the small ones, pulled back their jurisdiction to the city limits, that's kind of changed, you know, that aspect. So I'm sure that would be some discussions, and that would be if the city as a whole, you know, were to dissolve, you know, with mm-hmm. the police department. You know, what I foresee happening in the future is that most of the police officers with Pritchard will not be there anymore. And they ultimately, even though they can't afford the full price, I think the city of Pritchard will contract, you know, with the sheriff's office for law enforcement services for a period of time. And again, that they don't have the money to pay, you know, for the whole thing, but you know, it's one of the bills, and that's between them and the commission. You know, but that's where something's better than nothing. And then hopefully we'll get subsidized with some of these federal grants that we've applied for.
So, I mean, you say for some period of time, can you imagine it being many, many years of not having a Pritchard Police Department? Or
I think that's a reasonable expectation. I mean, if you look at their rate of pay, you know, they're the lowest paid agency in the county. So you can't really attract, you know, quality personnel.
Right.
They have no retirement, which is another reason you can't attract quality personnel. And I think they would have a hard time attracting the right people to get them where they're supposed to be. You know, if you go back to, you know, just hiring, you know, I'm trying to say this without, you know, being demeaning, but a lot of their officers are officers who could not get hired by other agencies or who got in trouble left other agencies. And so you'd be back to square one if you did that again. And so I don't know what the long-term answer is, but I do, for the foreseeable future, I believe that, you know, the sheriff's office will have to provide those law enforcement services. And I want people to understand, this is not something I woke up one morning and decided I wanted to do. It stretches our resources very thin. But in the end, they're citizens of Mobile County. And, you know, it's the sheriff's office responsibility to take care of citizens who don't have law enforcement service.
We'll get to the back to the text line here. Sheriff Cheesewagon says, doesn't the responsibility or fault fall on Chief Knight? I, for one, believe he should be held accountable for the evidence room in disarray and for other things going on in his department, and he's still there.
I second that motion, but he doesn't work for me. You know, and what I have said to others who have asked, you know, if, number one, you know, if something like that, I would often be responsible because I'm the head of the agency.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone has done the kind of things that he has done and not done, you know, he wouldn't still be employed.
Well, that's, a lot of people have asked that same question, so good to hear you answer it as well. Unnamed texture says, please ask the sheriff, with overhead and taxes and everything, what does it cost per year for one deputy?
Well, hiring them, you know, straight, just a straight up hire, buying new equipment, new vehicles, you know, it's a little over $100,000 startup pay. And then, you know, the salary will drop back down, you know, after that initial startup to, I think the average salary is 47 to, you know, 52, something like that, starting salary. And, but, you know, there is an initial, the initial cost is high because you have to, you know, supply all the equipment that goes along with the hiring.
Okay. This from Squirrel Vereen. Does the sheriff know of any of the circumstances of those incidents with the assault kits? It's disturbing that it still happens, but were they from what's called aggressive partners or others where people tend to dispute victims and not take them seriously, or are they actually from people lurking and jumping women?
It is going to take us months and months and months to marry up those sexual assault kits with the reports that go along with them, if we can even find the reports. And so that's really a hard question to answer because we're so early into this, you know, we just don't know.
A named texter, will the sheriff's department be hiring any of the Pritchard police officers?
No. Let me think about that. No.
Okay. Mike, does Sheriff Birch think Pritchard will ever change?
I hope so. You know, and I think this is a good start. And if you can get crime under control, and whether it's with us or a new department down the road, and get that public trust in the law enforcement agency that's providing them service, you know, that's a good start to a long-term change.
CB Carr.
I wish the mayor and the council could get along, and it would certainly make things easier.
What's going on there? What's going on in that division? Because, I mean, hopefully I'm going to get the mayor on. We've been working on it. The Mayor Davis.
Yeah, I think
on.
A lot of it's just personality conflicts. I think there's some people there who are, and this is just things that I'm hearing, you know, are holdovers from the previous administration. And, you know, they just have personality conflicts.
Because from the outside, you know, looking in, I was like, the people being mad at the new mayor makes me think, and I don't have, you know, proof yet, and I can't wait to have a conversation with her, but tells me she's doing things, maybe changing things.
She's asking questions and wanting to make some positive changes.
CB Carl says, do you expect any of the personnel up the chain of command being charged with a crime for watching and allowing this to happen?
Well, I don't know that you could charge somebody with allowing something to happen unless it reached, you know, the bar of an ethics violation, depending on the individual circumstances. But I do feel strongly that there are going to be many more arrests coming in the near future. And, you know, we'll see where that leads.
Where does that, I know there's probably more of a question for DA Blackwood, but how many cases do you see outcomes changing and people that were, you know, maybe falsely accused and, you know, faked up evidence in there, or the flip side, people that walked that were guilty? How much of that do you think we're going to see in the court system?
I wouldn't know the number, but I can tell you there are some concerns.
More than one?
Yeah.
You think there's more than one?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Probably a lot more than one. And, you know, we have met with the DA, and you know, we're going to, any cases they think need a second look at, we're going to do that. And along with their investigators, and you know, we want to make sure justice is served, you know, one way or another.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, both sides, that somebody, you know, guilty walking, and then this idea that somebody was framed, you know, get framed for something by a dirty cop. What that must feel like to that person.
Well, that was one of those incidents is what led to the arrest of Dodge. So.
Here's a question. I'll ask you that. It's a Baldwin County texter, but I know this is a subject you like to talk about. So I said, I shop at Foley Walmart every few days and have walked down both sides of the handicapped parking rows. None of the autos have handicapped cards or stickers, yet the places are always full. Customer service says city police are responsible for issuing tickets. If some were issued, I'm sure the spaces would open up. I know you addressed this, before on the show, but your feelings on that?
Well, tickets, yes. I'm all for a tow truck hooking them up and taking them. You know, I last week had to go visit my mom in the hospital several times at a local hospital, and every handicapped spot was taken up. Maybe two or three had handicapped tags or placards. I saw people get out of some of the vehicles. They weren't handicapped, but at least in appearance. They're just lazy and too far to, you know, they didn't want to walk from the outer parking lot. And that just, you know, that burns me up. Y'all hear me talk about it all the time. I think that's something that needs to be very strictly enforced.
100%. This from Mobillionaire on the text line. If they are still collecting taxes in municipal and police jurisdictions, aren't they subject to state audits to ensure proper services? Can the sheriff initiate or request an audit?
That's a good question. I don't know if that would be us or the DA's office that would request that, but that is a good question, but I don't know the answer to it, but we'll find out.
Okay. We'll get back to your questions at 251-343-0106. Call or text your questions, your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest this hour on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Your chance to ask the sheriff, our guest this hour, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, and continue our conversation about who came up here on the handicap placards. Rick had said the state changed the permanent handicap tag to a little blue sticker in the upper right-hand corner of the tag. Maybe they have, I know, but I was just saying, my mother has one. My mother's handicapped, and she has a placard, Sheriff.
Yeah, my mom does as well. Typically on the, you know, car tags, you got the month on one side and the year on the other. So, you know, I haven't seen that, but you know, I'll certainly look into that.
Here we go. This from David. He said, a few months back, I was at the Walmart in Tillman's Corner, and there was someone parked in the striped area of the handicapped parking. There just happened to be an MPD officer driving by. I brought it to his attention, and when I came out, he was issuing a citation. I don't know if it was a warning or a ticket. He said, first time that's ever happened since my amputation. But yeah, there you go. Somebody got it. So, but you'd rather them just be towed, right?
Sure. I would. Yeah, just, you know, because there are truly people who need those spots. You know, honestly, I wish there was a handicap spot and then another number of spaces for elderly who you know, can't necessarily walk from safely from way out in the parking lot. I don't know how that would be enforced, but out of courtesy, people should abide by that.
That's right. And if you don't hear what the sheriff and I are saying, if you once you have an older family member, you're going to completely understand what we're talking about.
Yep.
Also, update here, y'all have traffic-wise crash northbound I-65 at the airport exit. So right here by the station, crash once again northbound I-65 at the airport exit. Thank you, Cheese Wagon, for the update. Adam says, can you ask the sheriff if he's been following the death of the of Nolan, the child at, or the he's really a young man at Horn Island?
I have, you know, mostly on social media, and I have talked with a couple of folks in Mississippi, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the internet that there's no factual basis to, you know, and I've read pretty deep into a lot of it, and, you know, what I could, you know, what I want to say is people need to be patient and let the process work out. You should never rush an investigation, but I believe they're facing some of the same issues that we would hear. You know, you don't get a final autopsy report until toxicology comes back, and that can take months. And, you know, they can, you know, some will give a preliminary cause of death, but you never get a full, you know, autopsy report and cause of death until the toxicology comes back.
Jason from the text line says, my condolences on Sheriff Cochran. Sheriff Birch, I've noticed more deputies in the Kushla area recently. Is there an uptick in crime there or just increased patrols? Thanks.
A little bit of both. You know, we got wind of a few car burglaries, you know, recently, and some citizens, you know, submitting crime tips on some drug activity. So, you know, y'all have heard me say before, we respond to every one of those crime tips and document the outcome of them. So, you know, that increased presence is due to some complaints we had in the area.
Yeah, and that's, we can talk about, usually we kind of hit it at the end here, but take a second here and talk about the website, what you can do there.
Yeah, mobileso.com. You can leave a crime tip. It can be anonymous if you want it to be. You can leave your name and, you know, contact number if you want us to reach out to you. You know, you also go to my neighborhood, see what crimes are going on all around you. And there are a number of other resources on there that, you know, are made available to the public for free.
Okay, so y'all check that out. I had this question jotted down earlier when we were talking. Expanding with this responsibility for Pritchard, you talked about hiring how many deputies to do this?
32 to 34, just, you know, once we kind of get a just real hard, I guess, data on what's truly needed. And with that's also 8 dispatchers, you know, to cover the call volume because they have the rotating shifts. And that's what, you know, people don't always take into account. You have to account for people's off days, you know, the rotating shifts and all that. So that's why you need the number of people, you know, to cover that.
So when you're pretty close, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're pretty close before this all happened to being fully staffed, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And now you're not again.
We were real close. And, you know, I've got 8 that I'm trying to hire right away that, you know, some retirements that have occurred. And so that, you know, will help a little bit, but it's only a dent into what we really need.
I want to check in before we wrap up, too. That other part you mentioned at the beginning, we talked about the jail. I know you're at the sheriff's conference here, but you tell us a lot of times your daily ritual, reading your Bible verse and checking the numbers at Mobile Metro Jail. So
yeah,
what are we looking at now?
It was 1640 this morning.
And remind folks, what is capacity?
1187.
There.
Yeah, and by population, we're the largest jail in the state.
And what, I mean, does this just continue like this for forever? I mean,
I think we're going to see some relief, and I don't want to, you've heard me kind of hint at it. Judge Pipes is putting something into place that I think will help significantly, you know, when it starts. But again, it's something I would rather not want to steal his thunder because it's his idea and, you know, of course, just collaborative with us in the DA's office. And, but it's really, really going to help. I'll just say there's going to be a violent crime court, and I would rather him give the details on it.
But you see that making that 1,600 and whatever number not to come down?
Significantly once it gets in place.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to have that conversation and figure out the mechanisms on that. Let's see. This question, Scott, when will you be fully running Pritchard Police Department? Or I guess I'll just say law enforcement in Pritchard.
Well, I mean, we're essentially doing it now. We're responding to all calls for service, and you know, we're still providing the same investigative services that we have, you know, for several years at the request of the DA's office on all violent crime. We didn't take into account initially, but have now is, you know, having property crimes investigators. It got to the point where, from what we're told, if it's misdemeanors or a minor theft, Pritchard was not even responding. So,
wow.
You know, now that people know that we are, then we've got to have somebody to work those cases.
Sheriff, appreciate your time today, and we'll be talking again next month.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch has been our guest this hour. Coming back, wait for a conversation with my buddy Gary Jarvis. You're going to love this.